Spectator. And on Thursday, there's Mr. King, Tracer of Lost Persons, Dragnet, and Counter Spy. Now, it's The Silent Men on NBC.
This is Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. Once again, it is my privilege to introduce to you stories of The Silent Men, the special agents of federal law enforcement who silently and for little material reward daily risk their lives to protect the lives of all of us. Their tradition is long and proud, yet to guard our welfare and our liberties, they must remain nameless. The Silent Men.
Produced in Hollywood and starring Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. The National Broadcasting Company proudly presents The Silent Men, transcribed stories of the undercover operations of the special agents of every branch of our federal government and their relentless fight against crime. Now here again is Douglas Fairbanks.
The international list of narcotic violators is compiled and kept up to date by the Permanent Central Opium Board of the United Nations. It is a list of all known illicit drug dealers throughout the world. Vicious criminals who bring misery and destruction to hundreds of thousands of people every year. Number 121 on this international list was John Bartello, sometimes known as Pip the Blind, the leader of a narcotics empire that spread from coast to coast of the United States and into Mexico. Bartello's Mexican runners smuggled opium across the border. Other messengers brought it to New York, where Bartello's secret factories converted it into heroin. From here, another system of dealers and peddlers fanned out across the country to sell the dope. And the dope they sold sparked much of the crime of the nation. Yes, 121 was an important number to erase from the international list. In tonight's story, I will assume the name of Special Agent Pete Jackson, one of the silent men who risked death in order to smash the empire of Pip the Blind. As Special Agent Pete Jackson, I had been assigned to Federal Narcotics in San Francisco. It was Thursday, May 5th, 1949. We had closed a local case that afternoon, and I was alone in the office at headquarters, typing out a final report for the Bureau, when the call came in on the private tie line from Washington. Hello, San Francisco.
Hello, who is this? Jackson?
That's right.
This is Blair, Pete.
Oh, hello, Chief. Well, we closed a good one out here today. I was just writing it up for you.
Anything big?
Oh, papers of heroin, selling them through the mails.
Well, that's a new one.
Yeah, he had himself quite a mail order business till we canceled him out.
One of our leads?
No, it's a case we've been working on with the sheriff's office out here.
Good. I'll read the report. The reason why I called, Pete, I have an assignment for you.
Sure thing, Chief.
I hate to upset your personal affairs on such short notice, but I'm afraid you'll have to leave town.
Well, anything you can tell me about on the phone?
Just this. A reservation has been made for you on the plane leaving San Francisco at 11 tonight for New York. I'll meet you at the airport in New York City, will you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, better not tell anyone where you're going, even the family. Just say that you may be gone a matter of weeks. We'll keep in touch with them for you.
Right. I'll be on the plane. Next evening, Chief Blair met me at LaGuardia Airport and drove me to a little used road on Long Island where a secret rendezvous had been arranged with another car. When we spotted the car, we pulled up behind it, killed the motor, and got out. There were two men in the other car. The driver nodded as we walked up alongside.
Hi, Blair.
Evening, Lieutenant. Pete, this is Lieutenant Ryan of the New York City Police. Pete Jackson from San Francisco.
Glad to know you, Jackson.
How are you?
And this is Mr. Martinez from Mexico City, who is representing the United Nations Central Opium Board.
Hello.
Welcome, senor. You must be tired after your long trip.
No, not too much. It was a fairly smooth flight.
Have you had your dinner yet?
Thanks, I ate on the plane just before we landed.
Oh. Well, then perhaps you'd better just climb into the back seat and we'll talk here.
Sure. As good a place as any. You will forgive the informality of our meeting, senor. But it would not be good for us to meet more openly under the circumstances.
Oh, I'm used to it.
As I told you on the way over, Pete, the man we've been working on for such a long time is John Bartello, also known as Pip the Blind.
Yeah.
So Mr. Martinez's agents in Mexico, we've got a pretty good line on how he's getting the raw opium into the country. When the time comes, we can choke off the supply.
Yes, but as you realize, senor, it would do no good to arrest a handful of Bartello's men in Mexico while the head of the organization remains free.
Yeah, of course. And that's why we've concentrated on Bartello himself.
That's just Doug.
Oh. As I was saying, that's why we've concentrated on Botello himself here in New York City.
I see.
That's been Lieutenant Ryan's department, see?
Yes, and we learned quite a bit about him, Jackson. We know who he is, where he lives, how he operates. We know his habits, his friends, his business connections from coast to coast. We know when he makes a big buy, we know when he makes a big sell. We still haven't been able to get enough on him personally to make a felony conviction stick.
This is still hard for me to understand, gentlemen. When we know the man is guilty and still cannot arrest him...
Yes, Mr. Martinez, it's just as aggravating to us. But in order to obtain a conviction against Botello in this country, a narcotic agent would have to actually see him hand over narcotics and accept payment or hear him order one of his men to do so before a witness.
Care for a cigarette?
Yes, thanks.
Yeah, Jackson, that's what Pip the Blind has been smart. Oh, hold the light, will you? Nice. Now, for 10 years, he's been the known head of the largest narcotics ring in the country. But he's never actually handled any of the stuff himself.
And whenever he discusses a deal, he makes sure there are no possible witnesses present.
That's why we brought you in from San Francisco, Pete.
That's what I was beginning to surmise.
We needed a new face. One that Botello had never seen before and couldn't possibly recognize as a narco agent.
According to our plan, Senor Jackson, you will have to become personally acquainted with it, Botello. A sort of relationship will have to be established so that his suspicions are not aroused. So that he will accept you as somebody in his own line of business.
Hold it, there's a car coming. It's okay.
As I was saying, he must accept you as someone in his own line. Perhaps a competitor. Perhaps a possible customer.
In other words, you want me to pose as a narcotics dealer myself, is that it?
That's it. Uh-huh. You're a dealer from San Francisco. Right. Not too big an operator, so he wouldn't expect to know your name, but still big enough to be interesting.
Yeah. Incidentally, what is my name?
You've used an inversion of your own. Jack Peters.
Right. Well, now, how about my speech and general personality? A little too academic?
Not at Botello's level. He's got a couple of bankers and a college professor on his payroll.
Is that so?
Just play it straight. You're familiar enough with the West Coast narco operation so that any names or details you mention will sound legitimate to him.
In fact, senor, let's say the connections you have been buying from are his own outlets on the coast. Perhaps your reason for being here to circumvent this middleman and deal directly with Botello. This type of thinking he would understand.
Jackson, one of my men has lined you up a hotel room on the Upper East Side. That's where Botello operates from. His main front's a little Italian bar on East 105th Street.
Mm-hmm.
How you make contact will have to be up to you.
I see.
Here's the hotel address, Pete, and the cover credentials establishing you as Jack Peters, California driver's license, identification card with a San Francisco address, social security card, a couple of letters addressed to you as Peters. Better give me the stuff out of your wallet now.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks. And here's some reading matter. Everything we know about Botello's operations. Digest it tonight and return it through our Manhattan mail drop. It's got all the names you'll need.
Yeah, I'll mail it tonight.
Oh, by the way, Pete, you need a car while you're here.
Yes, I guess I will.
The coupe we drove over in will be yours for the duration.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, here. Yeah. Only one thing.
Yes?
Don't try and open up the trunk and back.
Oh?
I keep it locked.
Well, whatever you say.
When you're ready to contact us, call Lieutenant Ryan's office, or in an emergency, dial my local number direct. Good luck.
It took a few weeks to learn my way around and establish a pattern of habit. After a couple of nights, I dropped in for a casual drink at Botello's favorite bar. Then I began dropping in regularly. Still no sign of Botello. There was no secret about this being his headquarters. He operated from a back room. Finally, one of his lieutenants started showing some interest in me. On one of his regular round trips from the back office to the jukebox, he stopped at the bar and climbed up on a stool beside me.
You come in here quite a bit lately.
Yeah. I see the boss likes music.
I like music.
Oh, no offense, Tubby. I just heard that Pip liked music.
How come you know my name? We never met before.
Well, it's no secret, is it? You're one of Pip the Blind's boys.
I'm nobody's boy.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Tubby. Where I come from, that's considered a compliment. Pip's a pretty big operator, you know.
Where are you from?
San Francisco.
What do you know about Pip?
Well, like I said, Pip's a pretty big operator.
So he's a big operator. What do you know about him?
Only that we have some business interests in common.
Yeah?
In fact, I'm one of his customers.
That's interesting. Only I wonder if Pip happens to be aware of that. You see, he's the one sent me out here to find out who you are.
Well, that's something I'd be happy to explain to him.
Okay, mister, come on. Guy says he's a customer, Pip. He knows you.
Mr. Bartello?
That's right. Sit down.
I'm Jack Peters, San Francisco.
What can I do for you, Mr. Peters?
Tubby said you wanted to see me.
Just wondered what you were doing in the neighborhood is all. Uh-huh. You look lonesome coming in here every night by yourself.
I'm stopping at the hotel on the corner.
Well, appreciate your business.
You mean you own this bar?
Sure, got a whole string of them all over the country. How do you think I make my living?
Well, I didn't know, Mr. Bartello.
Oh, call me Pip. That's my nickname, you know. Pip the Blind.
Certainly, Pip.
That's because I got a cast in my eye, just a little pip.
Here,
this one, this little spot. They call it a pip, you know?
Yes, I see.
All the kids give me this name and it sticks all these years. Kind of different, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Tubby, be a good fellow. Go change the jukebox, huh?
Sure thing.
You better stay out there. Make sure it don't keep playing the same number over and over.
Sure, Pip.
I don't like to have too many people in the room when I talk. It makes me nervous. What's this about Tubby saying you're a customer?
That's right. Been buying your stuff from Lou Warren out on the coast. Peace goods.
What kind of stuff?
White stuff. H.
Who else you know out there?
Oh, Joe Cassetti, Manny Green, Donovan, Kagan, Derslag in L.A.
The names are familiar. I understand prices are high out your way.
Oh, $500 an ounce is what I've been paying.
That's a lot of money, but not when you figure you can resell it for $2,000 and you get it cut up into cuts.
Well, I can still do a lot better buying it direct from you.
I only deal in kilo lots.
How much?
Cost you $9,000.
I can handle it.
Cash?
I'm not quite ready
yet,
but...
Well, let me know when you're in the market. We'll talk some more. I just happened to notice it's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I always move up to my place in Harlem.
Another bar?
The White Kitten. I like the music up there. Just another jukebox like I got here, but somehow it sounds different. Maybe the atmosphere. You ought to drop in sometime.
The White Kitten?
Yeah, anytime after 10. Quite a place.
From the first meeting with Pip, I knew that I had been accepted as a narcotics dealer. And after a few more contacts, I was ready to make my move. I phoned Lieutenant Ryan's office for a meeting with Chief Blair, and once again our rendezvous was the deserted road near the airport on Long Island. It was just after dark when I drove up behind Lieutenant Ryan's car.
A little late, Pete. Any trouble?
No, I doubled back a couple of times to make sure I wasn't being tailed. That's what took so long. Want to get in?
Lieutenant Ryan, well, I'll stand out here. Be more room.
Well, how are you, Lieutenant?
Oh, can't complain.
Hey, what's with the crutches?
They're for you. A lot of bandages here, too.
I'm afraid you're going to meet with a little accident, Pete.
Well, line of duty, I guess.
Take your shoe off.
You kidding?
No.
Okay.
Your report, Pete, Bartello seems to stick pretty close to that back room of his.
Yeah, that's right. It's where he does all his business. Sock off to him?
Please.
Okay. He won't talk with anyone else in the room, so... It's going to be practically impossible to get witnesses.
And that's the reason we're fixing you up with a bum leg. You've got to get Bartello out of his club and into this car.
This car?
That's all.
Wow. It's a pretty special buggy you've been riding around in.
Wire recorder?
More than that.
I just hold your leg up on the seat now and I can start wrapping it.
Okay.
It's got to look like there's a splint under the bandage.
I have an idea that's why you didn't want the trunk unlocked.
I hate to show you the expense account on this job.
I'll bet.
Tore out the entire back so that the man can ride comfortably in the trunk. Tonight, when you make your contact, Lieutenant Ryan is going along.
I'll be riding shotgun. Oh, let me get these in.
Lieutenant will be your witness. The way it's fixed, he can see out of the car in any direction, including the front seat.
Yeah, there's a mic built in right there behind the ashtray. Two-way intercom. If you want to talk to me, just push the cigarette lighter on the dashboard. Yeah. Oh, that leg looks pretty good. Yeah. Or bad. I don't think you could walk on it now if you wanted to.
The department's plan had been carefully worked out. Not only was my car specially rigged, but another innocent-looking pickup truck had been reconstructed to carry more concealed agents, armed with both guns and high-powered cameras. They would be parked across the street from Bartello's place when we got there. Now, with my leg bandaged, crutches leaning against the front seat where they'd show, and Lieutenant Ryan riding in the trunk compartment as a witness, I drove back to Upper Manhattan for the crucial contact with Pip the Blind. It was a little past 9 when I pulled up in front of the bar. We're there, Lieutenant.
So I say.
And there's our truck parked across the street, right where they said it would be.
Blow the horn. See if you can get the bartender to come out.
They're looking out this way.
I'll try it again.
Oh. Someone's coming. It's Tubby.
Why, what's all the racket?
Hello, Tubby.
Oh, it's you.
Pip inside?
Yeah. What's with the leg?
I broke a little bone in my foot. Can't walk on it.
That's too bad. What do you want with Pip?
I got a deal working. Can you call him out here?
You know Pip don't ever talk to nobody on the street. You'll have to come inside.
Well, I tell you, Tubby, I can't put any weight on this leg. I've got to see him right away.
Well, I'll see what he says.
Tell him it's big. A kilo.
I'll tell him.
Lieutenant.
So far, so good.
If he comes out.
Well, sit tight. Hey, what's happening to our truck over there?
Just sitting there in the loading zone, as though the driver's inside someplace making a pickup.
I know, with those kids playing around it. Hope they don't get between us.
Cut off. Someone's coming. It's him.
Hello, Pip.
What's the matter? You get banged up?
Chipped a bone in my foot. Slipped on the street the other day, and this is what happened.
Yeah, you're getting old, John.
Yeah. Get in, Pip.
Yeah. Well?
Tubby tell you what I wanted?
No, he just said you wanted to see me.
I've got a fast deal for a kilo of H. I've got to have it right away.
Stuff's hard to get nowadays. I don't know if I can help you.
Pip, it's important. This party's a big dealer in Harlem. If I can deliver right, he'll be an important customer.
You got the cash?
7,000.
My price is 9, you know that.
I know, Pip, but I've got to sell it for 9. That's the only way I can make my deal.
I don't cut my price.
Well, that means I won't make a dime out of it.
Yeah. Tell you what. This time only I'll make it 8,000. That means you make a grand. From now on, it's 9 G's.
Thanks. Thanks, Pip. If it's quality stuff, I'm sure you'll pay more. What he's been getting is so cut up with powdered milk sugar, the users won't take it.
You don't have to worry about the quality of my stuff.
On account of the leg, I can't get out of the car, Pip. So if you could bring the stuff out, I'd appreciate it.
Here?
I'll give you the money now if you like.
You think I'm nuts? I don't do no business here. I run a respectable bar and talk to a few friends. That's all. Stubby will take care of him.
Well, any way you want to handle it, Pip.
Stubby?
Yeah, Pip.
Put your head in.
Yeah?
Mr. Peter's ready to make a buy. I promised him a kilo of heroin.
Sure, Pip.
You got enough on him?
Plenty.
Okay, then you two get together and make a meet someplace. Someplace safe.
Okay.
From now on, you deal with Stubby.
About the price, Pip, don't you? You think you'd better explain?
Oh, yeah. This time only, Tubby. 8,000. Now on the regular price.
I got it.
And I'm counting on you guys to make sure your meats are changed each time you connect.
Don't worry, Pip. I'll see they're changed.
You better get in with him, Tubby.
Sure.
Take care of the leg.
Thanks, Pip.
Okay. When do we meet?
It's got to be tonight.
Okay, but the later the better.
Well, how about 1 o'clock? Say the corner of 93rd and Broadway.
I'll make it 1 o'clock. Only I tell you where. You still live in the hotel on the corner?
That's right.
I'll be in your room. I'll phone you later.
Hello?
Thanks.
What happened?
Don't mention no names on the phone.
All right. Only what happened? It's almost 1 o'clock.
The deal's off.
What do you mean it's off? I counted on this.
That ain't safe. The board don't want to take my chance.
But he told me tonight it was all set.
I know, but there was a couple of bad cars in their neighborhood tonight. Now he says it ain't safe.
What cars?
There was a truck across the street 2-3 hours we ain't never seen around here before.
And what's that got to do with it?
That's for your own protection.
But how can you be sure they were cops?
When you're sure, it's too late. Nothing to them for the night, that's final.
But when I tell my party, this may clear the whole deal, you know.
We'll make it tomorrow, someplace out of the neighborhood. I'll have the stuff with me. I'll phone you tomorrow for a definite meet.
Well, all right. I'll expect your call.
Afternoon, when I get up.
Okay, okay. Goodbye. Deal's off, Chief.
How come?
They spotted the truck.
I was afraid of that. How about you?
I'm okay. We're meeting tomorrow.
Good.
Better deal the truck out, though.
I guess we'll have to, now that they've spotted it.
Well, I've got to go now. I've got to unload some things out of the back of my car before they get too rumpled up. They've been there for a couple of hours.
Yeah, take good care of them. They may mean a lot to us.
Tuesday, Tubby telephoned and gave me a new meeting place, far uptown. The meeting was to take place on a busy street corner in broad daylight at 5 that afternoon. At 3:30, I picked up Lieutenant Ryan. He got into the trunk compartment again, and at the designated time, I headed uptown to meet Tubby, as planned.
I'm a little worried, Pete.
What's wrong?
I don't know. There's something fishy about this second meeting.
Well, maybe they're just playing it safe.
It's this daylight thing that got me worried. Why should they want to take a chance on handing over the goods in broad daylight?
Well, we'll see. The next corner.
Is he there?
Down near the curb. Here we go.
Where to?
Around the corner, I think.
8,000.
Easy to.
How about the stuff?
You'll get it after I get the dough.
Save you the ride.
Okay, Cubby.
Here's your package, Petey. Thanks for the business. Give it to him, kid.
Cubby's messenger dumped the brown paper package into my front seat, and they both hopped into the cab. I waited until they were lost in traffic and then drove back downtown by a roundabout route to headquarters. Lieutenant Ryan got out of his hideaway in the trunk compartment. In the presence of the chief and other agents, we opened up the brown paper package. Inside were two large, glassy envelopes filled with heroin. This was the evidence the Bureau had been waiting for. At last, we had the goods on number 121 of the international list. We planned the roundup for late that night. The bar on 105th Street presented too many problems, so we waited until Pip the Blind had transferred his operations uptown to his Harlem club, the White Kitten. It was just after 12 when Lieutenant Ryan, Chief Blair, and I entered the club. We're okay for jumping tonight.
We're not too crowded for comfort.
Well, let's hope there won't be any action.
You see him, Pete?
Sitting at a table towards the back.
You fellas like a drink?
No, thanks.
No tables left, but you can get a drink at the bar.
Thanks very much.
You looking for someone?
Sort of.
Well, you're looking for trouble.
Nothing like that, son.
There he is. Come on.
I tell you, we don't like people coming in here looking for trouble.
Somebody say trouble?
Your name's John Bartello?
That's right.
Also known as Pip the Blind?
That's me. Who turned off the music?
Shall I turn it back on, Pip?
No, never mind, Tubby.
We're federal agents, Mr. Bartello.
So we're federal agents. That's all my income tax.
You know his name?
Which one?
Your name is me, Pip.
Never seen him before in my life.
Perhaps we'd better discuss this outside.
Sure you've seen him, Pip. He's a guy been coming into the other bar lately.
I'm a special agent, Pip. You'd better come along.
Is this a pinch?
You too, Tubby.
Okay, so we'll discuss it outside. Turn on that music again, somebody. I want to hear something hot when I get back.
Okay, Pep.
This is ridiculous. You've got nothing on us. I run a respectable business. My lawyer will help me out before we get downtown. You've got no evidence.
I'm afraid this time you're mistaken, Pep. You recognize that car at the curb? That's Mr. Peters' car.
So what?
The man you claim you never saw before in your life.
So?
We happen to have photographs of the two of you sitting in the front seat of that car.
Okay, so I know him, so I sat in his car. Some law says I can't. He was trying to sell me the car.
Then you should have bought it, Pip, because in the back trunk of that car, the evidence is going to put you away for a long time.
Not me, pal. I never talk in front of witnesses.
Let's go, boys.
This is Douglas Fairbanks again. The smashing of the empire of Pip the Blind closes another chapter in the distinguished chronicle of our silent men, the special agents of all branches of our federal government, who daily risk their lives to protect the lives of all of us. Next week, we will tell you a story involving atomic secrets and treason. The file case entitled The Case of the Rubber Gloves. Another venture undertaken for our protection by the Silent Men.
The Silent Men is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's case was written by Mr. Lewis and transcribed in Hollywood. All names and places were fictional, and any resemblance to persons living or dead was purely coincidental. Featured in tonight's cast were Herb Butterfield as Chief Blair, Paul Fries as Lieutenant Ryan, Jan Arvan as the Envoy Martinez, Ed Max as Tubby, and Lou Merrill as Pip the Blind. Your announcer is Don Stanley. Douglas Fairbanks may currently be seen in the motion picture Mr. Drake's Duck. Here again is Douglas Fairbanks.
There are 10 million Korean refugees. 3 million have literally no house or town to go back to. They are completely and utterly destitute. Over 2 million have already died of wounds or exposure since fighting began. Many more millions of innocent Koreans will die this coming winter unless you give your unneeded clothing today to American Relief for Korea. That's ARK. A-R-K. Unless your church, your local Y, or AWBS can collect them, please send your used clothing prepaid today to ARC, Oakland, California, or to ARC, Massbeth, Long Island, New York.
Next week and every week to other exciting cases involving the law enforcement adventures of the special agents of our federal government. For they are the Silent Men.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Monday means more fine music on NBC. This month.